As we read our scripture here this morning, beginning in verse number 40, the Bible says this, "And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. Behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him." Notice in verse number 49. "While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, Thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her, but he said, Weep not. She is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, Maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway. And he commanded to give her meat, and her parents were astonished. But he charged them that they should tell no man what was done." Let's pray. Father, I ask this morning that you would even guide our thoughts as we consider this father. And as we contemplate what a father did for a daughter, Lord, please help all of us who are dads. Lord, may we be charged with that great task of modeling you. I pray that you'd help us this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, again, happy Father's Day to all of you dads that are out there. I'm certainly thankful for you. Now, to be quite honest, I have to admit and be truthful and frank and say that Mother's Day is a bigger deal. And the reason I say that is because I heard a story about a father one time, father-to-be. And it was to be his first child. And as he was at the hospital, this was in the days before the dads were allowed in the delivery room. And so he was in the waiting room. And he was nervous. And he was pacing. And he was frantic, and he was just, I mean, he was going nuts. He was just, you know, the wait was so awful for him. And he waited for what seemed like so long, and then all of a sudden the door opened, and the nurse came out smiling and said, "Congratulations, sir. You are the father of a little girl." And at that, he heaved a sigh of relief. And he said, "Good, I'm glad it's a girl," but then he uttered some words that he had not really thought through. He said, "I'm glad it's a girl. After all, she'll grow up and she'll never have to go through the agony I've gone through tonight." You know, let me just remind you that our fathers, your wife did the hard thing. But being a father is great. And I hope that here in this church that you are encouraged. And encouraged in fatherhood. You know, I happen to think that, especially as I thought about it in terms of me personally, that I can remember very vividly both times that Valerie and I were blessed. And as I was able to, of course, be a father and add to that fatherhood, I remember we've got, of course, two children, and one of which is here this morning. But I remember when Jonathan was born. Jonathan is going to be turning 32, and just a few months, and Cindy is going to be turning, 2 years younger, 30. She'll have a big birthday. But I can remember specifically both times, but you know, it was actually when Cindy was born that it was different than when Jonathan was born. Though I was excited, though I was as elated the second time, I have to say that there is something different for dads when you have that little girl. And I say that truthfully. You know, it's interesting in Scripture how that the Lord Jesus Christ really reveals a father-like approach, because as we even understand the different genders, there are actually four different kinds of distinct parent-child relationships that are possible. Jesus actually touches on all four. There's the father-son, the mother-son, the father-daughter, and the mother-daughter. There are four different kinds because of the genders. Four different kinds of relationships. And wouldn't you know that Jesus Christ intersects himself with every one of those relationships? For instance, the father-son relationship. One chapter later, after you get past Luke chapter 8, you get to Luke chapter 9, And we're going to find that there is a father who's come. And he's come to Jesus because he's got a problem. He's got a son who's possessed, a son that the disciples could not cast out the demon. But all that father pleading to Jesus for a son finds relief as Jesus speaks and the demon leaves. And all of a sudden, a father and son are happy. We find one chapter before this in Luke chapter 7 that Jesus visits the city called Nain. And it's there at Nain that Jesus encounters a funeral procession. And the Bible says that there's a woman, a widow, and she only has one child, a son. And as that son is in his casket laying on what the Bible calls a bier, a stretcher that they would literally put the body on, as Jesus comes and sees the wailing and the mourning and the procession, he's moved with compassion and he just simply touches the bier. And he speaks to that young man and instructs him to rise up, and he does. And all of a sudden, that little boy all of a sudden opens his eyes and is reunited with the mother. And they can stop the funeral. Every time that Jesus comes to a funeral, he stops it. We also find, not in Luke's gospel, but in Mark's gospel, chapter 7, we find about the mother-daughter relationship. As a mother, Jesus goes outside of the country to a place of Tyre and Sidon, and there he encounters the Syrophoenician woman. And it's a woman who's very desperate because her daughter too is possessed. And as she comes to Jesus, she even speaks in begging terms. She says, you know, even the dogs get some bread from the table of the children. And so she begs from Jesus, and Jesus gives her relief, and her little girl is delivered. That brings us to the final relationship. Again, I'm simply pointing out that Jesus knows and experiences all. As a father, he knows from every vantage point. Here we've got a situation. It's a father-daughter relationship. And we find here in Luke chapter 8, we see a father so devoted, so in love with his daughter. And then you see how special she was, not here in Luke's gospel, but I'll just refer you to Mark chapter 5, the companion version of this. And it's interesting, in that version, as Mark tells the story, he relates the words from this man's mouth to Jesus. He calls her my little daughter. You see the terms of endearment. You see the terms of affection. You see, I think there's something especially in the heart of a dad. And I know that in today's society that we are not supposed to say this. We're supposed to be politically correct. But I think it's okay, by the way, to believe the Bible when the Bible says there's a difference, that God made them male and female. And when I remember Cindy being born in those wee hours, by the way, a VBT baby, I remember that as well. She came at an interesting time. But I remember when she was born and when I held her in my arms, there was something of a protectiveness. And there was something of a huge different responsibility. You know, I believe, by the way, this is true, that, you know, men, when we have our children, if a man, you know, has a son, that's a son, that is somebody that, you know, we can relate to. After all, at one time we were boys. And so even when we play with our boys, we sort of kind of go back to our boyish childhood, and we can relate to that. But a girl, well, how do you relate to that? She's different. She was different than me. And I have to tell you that when you come to this story, we find that here is a father who's got that special love for his daughter, a protectiveness. Really, I believe it's in the heart of every godly father, the desire to model the heavenly Father. And to model a Christ-like sacrifice, the sacrifice for sinners. I want you to notice just simply 3 points about this story. First of all, I want you to notice a father's love. By the way, this father has a name. His name is Jairus. And he's got a job. He is the ruler of the synagogue here in Capernaum. And as such, he's probably heard Jesus speak in his own synagogue. He's probably seen Jesus on the street. He's seen him perform miracles. He knows the talk of the town. He knows the stories. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 8, verse 41, that Jairus, this father, leaves his synagogue and he goes to where Jesus was. Notice in verse number 41, and behold, there came a man. This is, by the way, risky business for one Jairus. Why is that? You see, Jesus is being opposed. The Pharisees have great pressure on the synagogues. They've got great pressure. The closer you get to Jerusalem, of course, the more they control everything. But even here in Capernaum, this man, his job is literally being pressured by those who hate Jesus. As such, he could lose his job. You know, and I'm here to tell you, you find here a man who's got his priorities straight. My daughter or my job, I'll take my daughter. You see a father who doesn't care about the risk. He doesn't care about what people think. His friends, his social standing, everything maybe in his life may be turned upside down. But when it comes to my daughter, he says, I'll risk everything to make sure she's well. And so the Bible tells us that here is a situation in which Jesus Christ has become very acclaimed and very famous as he comes. There's basically a parade through the streets. The Bible says the people gladly received him, for all were waiting for him. It's sort of like a 4th of July, and people are lined up, and the streets are filled, and people are thronging. Everybody wants to get to Jesus, but notice this father got to him. And he got to him first. Notice, he not only gets to Jesus in the middle of the street, the middle of the day, doesn't care what people say, doesn't care what people think, but notice he invites him to his house. Notice verse 41, and besought him that he would come into his house. Again, I'm pointing out that here's a man in contrast with the threat, with the risk of his social standing, of his job. He doesn't care because he loves his daughter. Fathers, do you have such a love? Do you love your children that way? We notice, first of all, the love of a father. Notice, secondly, a faith tested, verses 43 through 48. Jairus here makes a request. And he makes a request that Jesus come to his house. But before they can even get to the house, he gets interrupted and he gets put on the shelf. Because as they go to the house, they begin to just make some steps. All of a sudden, there's this other woman, and this woman basically cuts in front. Now, by the way, let me point out, and it's interesting, this is not just simply to be viewed as another woman, but she is obviously also somebody else's daughter. You see, really, this is the story of two daughters. There's one that is 12, the other is an adult woman, but she is a daughter as well. In fact, it's interesting, notice that when Jesus encounters this woman, a woman who's desperate, she's had this issue of blood for 12 years, her life has been upended. She comes and just simply touches the hem of his garment. Jesus stops in his tracks, and Jesus has to find out. He has to ask the question, who touched me? And he has to talk to this woman. He has to spend some precious moments here engaging her. But I want you to notice what he calls her. Verse number 48. The Bible says when he finally realizes who it is, the Bible says, and he said unto her, daughter. You realize, really, this is a father chapter. This is a story about a father. By the way, some of you here this morning, you may be here and you may not have a father alive. Or may even be, sadly, that some of you, your father, you don't have good memories. Maybe you didn't have a good relationship. Maybe you don't have a good relationship. Now, I'm here to tell you that you do have a father who still loves you. And that father is our heavenly father. You see, Jesus jumps in on behalf of the Father, and he represents him. He even calls this woman. He says, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Now, the point about it is this, that here's Jairus, and here he is, and he's gotten to Jesus first, but all of a sudden, there's an interruption. And all of a sudden, somebody's cut in front. Yeah, you ever, by the way, had somebody cut in line, cut in front of you? You ever had somebody when you come to maybe a four-way, a stop sign, and it's your turn to go next, and somebody just ignores it and just simply goes right through? You ever been in line maybe at a grocery store, at a store, and all of a sudden somebody cuts in front of you, and they get ahead to the cashier? Oh, listen, Jairus all of a sudden realizes that here's this woman, and she is cut in front, but he's undeterred. And notice, we have the faithfulness rewarded, verses 49 through 56. Notice in verse number 49, the Bible says, while he yet spake, there came one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master. Now, can you imagine that here's Jairus, and hearing this news, that here his daughter's died. Can you imagine maybe the bitterness that could creep in? Do you realize the anger? After all, this woman is the reason. If she wouldn't have stopped Jesus, and if Jesus could be mad at Jesus, if Jesus wouldn't have stopped and talked to this woman, it was taking precious moments that may have made the difference in his daughter living versus dying. Can you imagine? I imagine Jairus here was probably ready to fall to his face and probably grieve and begin a grieving process. And he certainly had emotions that went through him. By the way, I liken this to a circumstantial getting circumstantially rear-ended. You ever, just been driving and you come to a stop and all of a sudden somebody didn't stop behind you? Those accidents that we did not have as something we did, those accidents that are forced upon us, those accidents oftentimes they come up on us and they come up unexpectedly. Here's Jairus, and he's been rear-ended in a sense here by this woman. This woman and her encounter with Jesus now has cost him his daughter. Now we notice, by the way, that the Bible says that immediately Jesus steps in. Because verse number 50 says, "But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, 'Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole.'" Now, don't miss this. What happens is this: when Jesus then now brings Jairus, the father, to the house, that the Bible tells that he very specifically, and this is the first time in the Gospels, the first time that you find Jesus taking his disciples and separating his inner circle, the first string of Peter, James, and John, and they only are allowed to go in with him. But it's interesting, not only those three, but who else? Verse number 51 says, "And the father and the mother of the maid." Now, in the meantime, the Bible tells us, and evidently, you got to understand the way the Jews operate. In our society, of course, death does not mean an immediate funeral. We oftentimes will have funerals that take place days, sometimes even weeks later. We'll have services that may be sometimes separated from the actual death, but not the Jews. They want to mourn right away. And so here Jesus and the father have just simply come to the house. And there's already, the Bible says, verse number 23 of Matthew chapter 9, the story there, the Bible says minstrels, there's musicians that have arrived. And if you know the Jewish way, you know that they are very good about crying and mourning and weeping. And so the mourners are there. And so the Bible even says, notice here in verse number 52 of our chapter, notice that Jesus encounters a great crowd. They've already gotten the funeral started. And the father's just simply arrived home with Jesus. In verse number 52, the Bible says, "And all wept and bewailed her, but he said, 'Weep not. She is not dead, but sleepeth.'" Of course, the language there is very, 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 very kind, very gentle, very loving. But notice verse 53, "And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead." Oh, there's always those that want to throw cold water on faith. That there's always those who want to kind of, throw it and cast it aside. And they don't want to give any credence to that Jesus can do something and do something big. And so they said, "Oh, we don't believe you." And so you know what Jesus did? He kicked them out. The Bible says, "And he put them all out." Now, by the way, the way to understand this is he didn't kick out everybody. He just simply kicked out all the mourners. He kicked out the musicians. They were fired on the spot. He said, "You all get out, and those of you that are going to laugh, you're going to make fun of this." But he kept there Peter, James, and John, and the mother and the father. And I happen to believe that this miracle, that this raising from the dead of Jesus was performed in front of all of them. And notice, we've got the voice of Jesus as if it is the voice of a father. Notice in verse 54, "And he took her by the hand." And this is interesting, "and called." That word "called" is an interesting word. It's a word which is used to describe a rooster crowing. It's a loud calling. It is an announcing. "And he called, saying, 'Maid, arise.'" And verse number 55 says that her spirit came again, and she arose straightway." That is, right away. There was no delay. There was no separation. But immediately, and as Jesus encounters now that this girl, now alive, He instructs the mother and father. Remember, I believe they were in the room. He says, feed her, give her some meat. He instructs them to now take over. And now the Bible says in verse 56, and her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. They were astonished. They couldn't believe it. You know, by the way, sometimes that's the way it is with faith. That's why the Bible tells us that he is waiting to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now, my point is this, and I'll close, but I want to just simply point out to you that why was Jesus involved with this girl? And why was Jesus involved with other relationships? Why a mother, a son, a mother, daughter? Why a father, son, a father, daughter? Why in this case here, this father with his daughter? I'll tell you why. Because here Jesus is, and he's representing the real father. Oh, this morning, you know, when we wish a happy Father's Day, you realize what that really means if we really understand the significance of fatherhood? That means that every dad in here, we certainly want you to have a happy day. But I want to charge you. You've got a great responsibility. You see, this father here represented the Heavenly Father. He loved his daughter. He trusted Christ. By the way, he was bringing Jesus to her. You know, sometimes, by the way, again, we have to remember that there may be obstacles. There may be some things that get in the path, but we need to try and make sure that our children and Jesus are in the same room, in the same vicinity. He went to Jesus and said, Jesus, I want you in my house. Oh, every father here, you need to make sure Jesus is in the house. And when you do, great things happen. Because as Jesus here was brought into the room, all of a sudden death left, and all of a sudden life came, and a father and a daughter were reunited. What a father did for his daughter reminds us that there's a special charge to every dad in this room. Let's model the father. Lord, we thank you for this morning, and thank you for even the opportunity that we had to even explore and look at this story. But Lord, I pray even this morning there might be somebody here that has never even received Jesus as Savior. It's all really the story of God the Father loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The reason that earthly fathers ought to love their children so much is because we all have been loved so much. And so, Lord, I pray that if there's one here today that has never accepted you as Savior, that today might be that day that they place their faith and trust in you. Lord, I pray for all of the dads here this morning. Lord, help us to be godly men. Help us to be good fathers. It's one thing to be a father. It's another thing to be a good father. So, Lord, I pray that you'd help us this morning and be with all of our dads. And, Lord, we thank you for them. May this be a place that encourages the men, encourages the father. And, Lord, I pray for even those here this morning that they may not even have had a good father relationship in this life. Lord, they have a real father in heaven who loves them. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Christians are praying. How about you this morning? Have you, maybe dads, realized the urgency of you loving your children? And you bringing Jesus into the house? And you seeing what Jesus can do in your family's life? Oh, what a great, great story. What a father did for a daughter. The same can be true of you. You can be like Jairus. In just a moment, the instruments are going to play. You may need to come and maybe dedicate your home to the Lord. Maybe this morning God has even stirred your heart, and maybe there's something you got to get squared away with. I trust that you'll do it this morning. Let's all stand. The instruments are going to play. You step out and come.